Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Quizmaster Lee. I'm here with... What's your name, boy? What is your name?
You always say it for me, Daddy.
I know.
My name is Quizmaster Mark.
Yes, and we're here with local musician, historian, Southwest Florida's own Seth Ford.
I am Seth Master Ford.
Yeah, Seth Master Ford.
I like that.
Welcome back to the No-No, Seth.
Thank you.
One of our favorites and a listener favorite guest as well. Seth, first of all, congratulations on the Shy Tunas being played on the Dr. Demento radio show.
Oh,
that is quite the honor.
It was amazing.
Yeah. For our listeners who are unawares, Mark, do you want to describe who Dr. Demento is? Set the stage?
Yeah, Dr. Demento is this weird little crazy guy who has a radio show and is most noted for... taking part in the fame of Weird Al, and just like plays a bunch of weird kind of, I don't know how would you put it? Like,
music.
Well, yeah, music, but, kind of weird music.
Weird
music.
Weird. Yeah. Very, very weird music.
Man, that looks like an alligator nuts.
That kind of music.
Indeed. Yes.
Yeah.
Alligator nuts music.
It's it's very, very strange music.
So what song was played?
It's called, it was on his Halloween episode, and we actually turned it into him last year, and he didn't use it, and we didn't think that it was going to get used, and then all of a sudden we got an email that it came in. It's called Trick or Treat Till You Die.
Nice.
And we recorded a whole Halloween album last year, and when my wife created...
Ridiculously Halloween.
That's called Ridiculously Halloween. You can get it on Shy Tunes at Bandcamp.
We played a song from it the one time. You were around on Halloween, and I think we closed out with a track from it.
Awesome.
Maybe.
She made this song. It was like the rap song on the record. I thought that it was... My opinion was is that it might have been the worst song on the record, and it was terrible. I was like...
Ain't that the way?
Yeah, but I mean, but my wife, she puts a lot of work into this stuff, and you know, Amelia and I, my daughter, try to help her as much as we can. And she put this on, and I was like, well, she's so enthusiastic about it. And I just kind of left it at that. But then we sent the whole album to them, and they picked that one.
Hey.
And it's just, it's an absolutely ridiculous song.
Kurt Cobain hated Smells Like Teen Spirit, right?
It kind of makes sense, though, that it made that was the song. But when we actually heard it on the show, I mean, it kind of, you know, when we found out we were going to be on, we were excited about it. But when we actually heard it on the show, we both kind of freaked out at the same time because I've known who Dr. Demento is since 1985, man. I mean, it's just, it's...
And you're a big Weird Al fan like me.
Oh, yeah. And I've known...
We both have the same favorite Weird Al song.
The first time I ever... That's...
Midnight Star.
Midnight Star is you can read all about it in the weekly Midnight Star.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's such a good song. It's
cool. We'll check it out. But yeah, that's crazy. So now in your own bloodline, you have Grammy Award winning and Dr. Demento praise. That is just quite the pairing.
I'm a little bit more hype on Dr. Demento personally.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. I get it.
That was... Oh, I looked at my wife and I was like, can you believe that Barrett Hanson, Dr. Demento just played us?
Amazing.
And she was like, I can't believe... The first time I ever heard Camper Van Beethoven was Dr. Demento. The first time I ever heard Barnes and Barnes, Fish Heads, Rolly Roll.
That was one of the first songs. Yeah.
And also, first time that I ever heard They Might Be Giants was on there. He did Don't Let Start in like 87 or 88. And that was the first time I heard them. I was like, I was like, what a strange song. And I remember that, man.
The word I was looking for was novelty. He does a lot of novelty songs. But, you know, Camper Van Beethoven, They Might Be Giants, one of my favorite bands of all time. Weird Al, one of my favorite artists of all time. He does a lot of left of center stuff as well as stuff that's just like really, really far out there. But I mean, he's been kind of on the cutting edge of a lot of the... You know, what would end up being like college radio stuff.
Yeah.
Very, very, very good stuff.
Seth, I'm going to record my mustard rap and send that in and name drop you
on the email.
I'm sure.
Shy Tunas. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So we'll post a link to that song and the Shy Tunas Bandcamp in the show notes. Seth, thanks for coming back on. I know you always have great questions. I'm hoping for some history, even though...
And a great sussing partner.
Yes, absolutely.
Sometimes. I mean, great questions,
sometimes
also
a terrible sussing partner.
Sometimes right? Terrible. Terrible.
Especially
when it comes to country music questions. Y'all guys blow me up on the country music questions, and then they pop up, and I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
All right, so let's go ahead and take a look at our weekly wrap-up.
Please.
Yeah. Okay, so first up, on Monday, November 11th at the Palace, I Poop on the Clock for Karl Marx won the first round. while Trivia and Newton-John took the second.
Spitting his coffee.
The upper-class twits were just 4 points shy of the overall victory, though they did snag the third-round prize. The quiz winners, who can thank their knowledge of sexy ginger men, were the sorority girls with 69 points.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's nice.
And then the next night, on Tuesday, November 12th, at Gathered, the Tarpon Fat Cats and the Tarpon Charlies duked it out over the course of the evening, with the Fat Cats winning rounds 1 and 2, while Naughty Girls and Boy were able to squeeze in a round 2 victory.
So naughty.
But that's naughty like nautical. There's an I on the end, because okay. It's a boat place, you what know? Wind. A lot of people live on boats out there that come play the trivia at the Gather. Tarpon Charlie is ultimately getting a top score that night of 71 points. Mark, how did your teams do at Nice Guys Pizza this week?
My teams did good. First round win to Faps of Life, Jamie Fletcher and Kristen and company. The second and third team went, of course, to Mark Davis, trained the staff at Chernobyl, who ended up winning the whole night with 81 points.
Oh, shit.
A very high night. So, again, Mark Davis commits an atrocity, and they win.
So that's Zach and Taylor.
It is, yeah. Zach and Taylor.
Our guests from episode 71.
Indeed. Yes. And also, Pootie Tang says hello to you.
Ooh, Pootie Tang.
Yeah, they came out and they said hello.
Nice. Hi to them. I hope they're listening.
So do I.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And congratulations to Mark Davis Atrocity 2019, or what was their name again?
Mark Davis trained the staff at Chernobyl. Name this week? I told them they out Fletchered Fletcher instead of having a text message thread. They actually have a Google Doc of atrocities that they are keeping tabs on that I can commit week by week.
An atrocity database.
It's like you versus Peanut the dog.
You know, I was thinking about the
same format, kind of. Yeah.
I like this week by week changing name thing. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of it.
Yeah, something that we're instituting at the No Nonsense Trivia events now. You can actually get a league ID, and we'll make sure to keep tabs on all your scores. We're kind of fleshing out the league system in that. So if you come out, the answer sheets look a little different these days, but still the same old no-no. On Thursday, November 14th, As You Wish took the first and third rounds, while Peanut and the Silent Chairs were able to capture the second. As You Wish logged another overall victory with 111 points. If you want to play No Nonsense Trivia live in the coming weeks, you have a few opportunities to do so. First, November 18th, 2019, we'll be in Cape Coral, Florida at the Palace Pub and Wine Bar for our 243rd quiz. Don't forget, our winning teams at Palace receive a free bottle of wine for every round victory. Categories for the quiz that night will include dog breeds, film noir, music of the 1960s, human anatomy. Excuse me.
Vomit.
Acid reflux.
Human anatomy. What's going on with my body?
Borgmas.
The Walking Dead. NBA. NHL, MLB, and more.
Lee's neck pouch just inflated as we're sitting.
He looks kind of like that one dinosaur from Jurassic Park. That's
Mitch McConnell. Oh. The final question category that evening will be Steven Seagal, selected by last week's Biggest Learner's Idiot Sandwich. That's not their name. Oh, no, that was them. That was Idiot Sandwich. That's right. On November 19th, 2019, will be a Gather. Come win some Gather gift cards on Tuesday. Categories for the quiz that night will include world history, travel, baseball, hockey, classic TV and film, music, and more. Final wager question that evening will be a question about 1950s music, selected by Naughty Girls and Boy. On November 20th, go to Nice Guys Pizza and play trivia by Mark Davis, hosted and created by Mark Davis.
Indeed.
Then on Thursday, November 21st, 2019, we'll be at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral, Florida. Categories for the quiz that evening will include national parks, state parks, Florida authors, grammar, as well as a bevy of TV topics such as Game of Thrones, Star Trek, Married with Children, Friends, Doctor Who, The Mandalorian, and more. The final wager question that evening will be about The Office, a topic selected by Peanut and the Silent Chairs. Gentlemen, it's finally time for my three song stories. That's right. You guys have both had your three song stories. It's time for me to sit in the hot seat on November 25th at Palace Pub and Wine Bar. I'll share my three song stories live with WGCU's Mike Kinnairy, Richard Tinqui, and Tara Callaghan. And you, if you show up. to listen to my three song stories. You will be there as well. Followed by an all music themed No Nonsense Trivia Challenge, where you will be able to use hints from episodes of Three Song Stories themselves as clues. And win some fabulous public radio prizes. That's Monday, November 25th at Palace Pub and Wine Bar at our usual quiz start time of 7 p.m. And then on December 7th, it's our next theme trivia event, Wubba Lubba Dub Dub. Join us for an evening of craft beer and the No Nonsense Trivia Challenge Rick and Morty edition at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar, featuring Rick and Morty themed prizes provided by Cool Comics and Games. From Abradorf Linkler to Zigzag, we'll be tearing down any and all monuments to compromise by quizzing Southwest Florida on the beloved hit Adult Swim animated series Rick and Morty, featuring mind-bending questions and your favorite characters from the show, memorable moments, cameos, behind-the-scenes trivia, and more. Join us for Rick and Morty trivia on Saturday, December 7th at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral, Florida. That starts at 6 p.m. You can find out more information about that and all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of the No Nonsense events are free to play, and you can win prizes after every round. Join us.
Won't you?
December 7th, a trivia that will live in infamy.
Never forget.
Let's get to some infamous questions after we take our first break.
And here we are.
And, yes.
Should we let our guests begin?
Let's. Let's let Seth, start.
Oh, happy me.
Seth, start.
Don't Seth start.
An ungulate.
Yes.
Is, you know it already. No. An ungulate is characterized by having what?
Huh?
Okay, I don't know this
an
at all.
Ungulate?
No. An ungulate.
Ungulate.
U-N-G-U-L-A-T-E.
Mm. Ungulate. Has a crease. I don't know.
I'm so glad that you guys have
never
asked this question.
It's characterized by having a what?
By having what?
Having what?
Having what? Not having a what. I mean, it could be, you know, right. Having what?
Having what?
When I said yes, just to clarify, I was saying yes to... something you said before that.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember what it was, but you were like, you know it. And I was like, no.
Oh. I thought by the word alone, I was so concerned that you guys had probably asked this question before. I can't tell you how much joy it brings me that you haven't.
I'm trying to place it like
this is
an anatomy.
A good trivia question, in my opinion.
I want to say, I don't know why ungulate sounds familiar to me.
It does. So maybe you have. It. Maybe you have asked us. I've never asked about it.
Ungulate.
Ungulate.
Ungular.
I'm thinking it's either a
ungulate.
You think it's like a child of an ungula?
Ungulate.
An ungulate.
Ungular. Ungulate.
Doesn't it sound like anatomy? Is it anatomy? I feel you have not agreed to that, so I feel like you're...
Because I can't. Can't agree to it.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm saying I can't.
Where do we start sussing?
Oh, brother, I don't know.
Ungulate.
Ungulate. I don't know if I'm confusing it with something that sounds like it. You know what I mean?
Can we get a spelling?
Yes, absolutely. The spelling would be... U-N-G-U-L-A-T-E.
Okay.
Ungulate.
Okay. That is not how I was imagining it spelled. I thought it would be an E-T on the end, but an A-T-E on the end.
Mm-hmm.
So could this be like a... like something that you would refer to like a person, like a leper or something? Like a characteristic, like an ungulate is somebody who... And then they have what feature is what he's asking.
It could be.
That's where I'm going now with the spelling. Is that it's like a descriptor, like a qualifier, a classification of maybe a person.
I feel like this is something that like one of my parents used to say, but I may just be like really off.
Like, okay, so what would they refer to?
Dude,
what class and group of people were they referring to, Mark?
I'm giving you like, I know like the stuff, even if I knew what I was talking about, I don't know what I'm talking about. Like,
what does an ungulate have that others do not? Ungulate.
Man, I feel so in the fucking woods.
Yep.
I don't even feel in the weeds.
I feel like I might be barking up the right tree in that it's like maybe somebody who has two homes or something like that. I'm not saying that's what it is, but they have something that others don't.
The ungulate in the jungulate.
Maybe it's
welcome to the ungle.
Yeah. Maybe it's a body feature, like a third nipple, an ungulate. This kind of reminds me of your Barbe question. I just had no idea, you know.
Pseudo follicle, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Pseudo follicle-itis, right. Barbe.
See, I even forgot the first part. I just remember shrimp on the Barbe. Our episode title.
The title, yeah.
Yeah. It's like adding insult to injury.
Grinding away over here.
Third nipple.
All right.
I don't know.
Having a third nipple.
Final answer there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We don't have a place to go. We have no place to go.
Man, y'all guys, it does have to do with body parts.
Oh, okay.
Ungulates are characterized by having hooves.
Oh,
anything with a hoof is an ungulate.
Okay.
I was reading an article about
an agriculture question.
An animal that was discovered in the woods in Vietnam. They thought it had been extinct for 30 years, called a silverback chevrotain. And they said it's a tiny deer-like creature. They call it a mouse deer. It's another name for it. And as I was reading the article, it said it was an ungulate.
Okay.
And I was like, what's an ungulate? So I looked it up, and that's where I got it from.
Gotcha.
Fantastic. Yes. All right.
Interesting.
Here's your first question for me.
Yeah.
The category would be art.
Mm-hmm.
I think you might know this, so we'll see. Jasper Johns.
Mm-hmm.
You're nodding a little bit.
I'm familiar, I think.
Is an American painter well known for his depictions of what?
Seth? I think I might know this, but do you have... Just to go back to your last question real quick, did you give us a category at all, or did you just read the question?
No, I just read the question. I can give categories if you like.
Oh, it's not important.
I mean, I was
just
saying
curious.
He was an artist.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
Yeah. I was just curious.
Easily qualifies in the art category. I've heard of Jasper Johns before. I've heard of him. I'm going to guess he's probably an American artist.
Yes, I think so.
American artists are often... Especially early, a lot of
I know Americans. He's American. Did you say he was American just now in the question?
Yes.
Okay. So I am definitely 100%.
A lot of okay. So a lot of American, and I'm guessing with a name like that, he's probably an early American painter.
Often, I don't think so. Actually, I think he's a modernist, like maybe 40s, 50s, 60s.
I was
maybe
70s. Guess
too.
Like pastoral agricultural settings or something along those lines.
I'm so sorry, I coughed over that.
It's all
but
kinds
no,
of gastrointestinal issues.
I know
today.
The bugs are going around down here. Half of Southwest Florida's musicians are currently
guys,
under the
you
weather.
You guys have to understand what it's like down here in Florida in the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
Just all kinds of illnesses.
Yeah.
Just they found the plague. Did you hear about this?
The plague?
Is that true?
Yeah, they not here.
Oh, okay.
But where was it? It was another country. Mm-hmm. They
yeah,
had,
I did hear about that. It's not never been totally eradicated.
Yeah, the plague is back, mm-hmm. baby.
The plague.
Yeah, like plague. The plague.
The plague.
Yeah.
The plague.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, it's not okay.
Well, I mean, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying
it's
it probably, I mean,
it's
I think what
news.
Mark is driving at here is that the plague was probably birthed in Florida.
Probably.
Yeah, because there's all kinds of
even
afflictions.
If it's not
it's just
here
getting
now,
to that season.
It float in the air.
I don't think it's the plague, but it's just getting to that season.
It's
you know?
Not the plague.
Yeah.
It's not a tumor.
It's love bug season.
Let's not everybody freak out, man. You guys remember that movie?
I do.
Jasper Johns. It's tearing at my mind.
I believe he painted flags. I think
flags?
That's yes. I think that is was his subject matter, and he was known for painting flags. I might be confusing him with a different painter, but I feel fairly confident.
I am going to defer to the man who taught classes related to art.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, don't put too much pressure on me to get it right.
Well, no, just saying. I'm admitting you're a better man than I when it comes to this topic.
We'll see. I've gotten, I did not get the factory question right last week. Is it flags, Mark?
Can you be more specific?
American flags.
Yes.
Yes, American flags. So you were barking up the right tree with the American flags. Painter. Okay. For sure. Well, you did say that in the question.
I did say that in the question again for the second time. Yes.
Yep. So, all right, great.
I figured that would be a softball to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Mine, you might not. We'll see. Acronyms is the category. On formal invitations, what is RSVP an acronym for?
I know this.
I do too.
Okay. Do you want to say it? How good is your French?
Won't you? Can we say it at the same time?
Yes.
Respondez-vous, s'il vous plaît.
No, respondez-vous.
Respondez-vous, s'il vous plaît.
That's it. Respondez-vous, s'il vous plaît.
That's it.
I have something different.
Then it's wrong.
Are you sure? I mean, I looked, I double checked it. I found like a world translator. It's répondez, s'il vous plaît.
Well, it's respondez-vous, s'il vous plaît, or respondez, s'il vous plaît.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's not what you said. No. You said respondez-vous, s'il vous plaît.
Well, that I feel like we're splitting hairs here. That's pretty close.
It's pretty close. Isn't it? That's but you had an extra word in there, so that would be like.
I think you had an extra consonant as opposed to what you.
RSVP is what I think you said.
Well, find out what it means to me.
That's why I denoted the hyphen. It's respondez-vous. It's hyphenated.
Okay. I don't know if it's responde. There's no S, I thought. Répondez. S'il vous plaît.
Get the French on the phone.
We'll see. Give me a French man.
Miscorrection us.
Yeah.
Mark's looking it up now.
I am.
He's got it right.
My grandfather spoke French. So my mom would always fucking.
Was he from Baton Rouge?
So yeah, it does. Okay, so it does say "Respondez, s'il vous plaît." It does not say "Respondez-vous." But
I thought it was "Répondez."
Is it? Is there an S?
Oh, it is Raponde. That's weird.
So you would be
okay. So,
so yeah. Sorry to be a buzzkill. I mean, you got it mostly right. I don't want to take the suck the air out of the room or anything.
Mom,
you know? But
I'm
just for we don't want to get miscorrected on something when you know.
Well, yeah. My
life is a lie.
Just for clarification.
Well, yeah, I mean, somebody's going to hear that, Mark, and say, you know, if we had said it wrong, somebody's going to send in a miscorrected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, Seth.
We were close, though.
You were close.
We were close.
I give you that.
Okay. Back to me.
Back to you.
Back to
me. Now, you can give us a cat. I usually like to give the categories. I was just curious if you did, because I felt, pretty blind in that. And, you know, that's just a Quizmaster prerogative, really. Right,
we can file this one under early 20th century American history.
Can I get a subcategory?
Early 20th century.
Can I get a sub-subcategory? American.
Category
history.
If I give up too much, sorry, I didn't mean to kick you there, Mark.
It's okay.
All right.
Kick me all you want, Dad.
Who was president when the National Prohibition Act, also known as the Volstead Act, went into effect?
I do not know. Early 20th century is a hint, at least.
Yes.
Teddy Roosevelt?
You know...
Calvin Coolidge? That's earlier, though, isn't it?
Are you respondez-vous playing to somebody right now?
Teddy Roosevelt, I just asked a question about him at trivia last night.
And what year?
And someone yelled out the answer.
Ooh.
A big no-no. Yeah.
Is there any information in the question that you asked?
William McKinley. Teddy Roosevelt was president when William McKinley was assassinated. And it was the beginning of the 1900s. 1901.
This is juicy.
Because I remember looking it up. William McKinley was a president twice. He was president. And then 1901, he was renominated. He lasted 6 months. Teddy Roosevelt didn't want his former, William McKinley's former vice president died of heart failure. And everybody wanted to make Teddy Roosevelt run, but he didn't want to run. They wanted him to become they wanted him to be vice president, but he didn't want to because he was like, I'm too much of a badass to have like a shitty job like vice president. Like, it's a shitty job. I'm not going to do anything in it. But they convinced him to do it. So he did it. And the only thing he really did as vice president was his famous speak softly and carry a big stick and you'll go far speech. 6 months later, William McKinley assassinated.
Yep.
That was the beginning of the 1900s. That was like 1901.
I love this history conversation. I love it.
It's everything you dreamed it would be, isn't it?
I love this.
It's more than I expected.
Teddy Roosevelt was two terms?
Yeah, I think maybe even more. Three, maybe?
He was the three. He was the one three-term, wasn't he? Because he wasn't nominated for that one, so he did that one, and then he was nominated for two. Is that right?
I don't know if he was exclusive like in that, but I think he did have more than usual.
I think that's another like one of those trivia factoids.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the question. You said, Seth, the question was when Prohibition started.
When it went into effect.
Would Teddy let that shit fly? That just does not seem like his character. And you said McKinley was part of the early 20th century, right? Until 1901?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of time there. I mean, it's possible.
Maybe that's why he was assassinated. Y'all can't drink booze. Blah, blah, blah.
No shit.
Fuck you, son.
Yep.
You want to go with McKinley?
I don't know. I mean, the probability of time would say Roosevelt, just the amount of time, early 20th century, so many terms. But
who was after Roosevelt? Because early 20th century could be the 1920s. When did Prohibition go into effect?
Probably the 10s.
I mean, there was the. There was a swing in 20s.
Could be the. Yeah, I think we were fine by then.
Yeah, people had to have been drinking like crazy by then. People were after definitely being drinking deprived by the for 1930s. So
long. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
Roosevelt seems like the hedge your bets option because of so much time. But if it was 1901, the early part of 1901.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about.
You said it was a matter of months. 6 months. So you said?
Well, I mean, he was president for 4 years, and then he was president for 6 months.
Oh, okay.
So, okay. Like, say that he was renominated in 1900.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the kind of weird thing about the stuff that I'm saying is that. So I guess he would have been nominated in 1900, and in 1901 he would have. I'm trying to think of how that works. So it's 2019 now, right?
Mm-hmm.
When do we vote for president?
Are you going to do all this math?
I'm not going to do all this math.
When do we vote? 2019.
2020.
Yeah, we don't vote in 2019.
Oh, I'm sorry. We vote in 2020 for 2021 is the
date. Is when they take over.
Yep. January. So, yeah, that's what I meant to say.
Okay. So they would have voted, we'll say, in 1900 and then in 1901 he would have started his second term.
Yeah.
And he would have died. So he would have started his second term. So he would have been president all of 1900 and then 6 months of 1901.
Yeah.
So we'd have had a year and 6 months, and he would have had 4 years before that.
Yeah, but that would be late 19th century.
But what I'm saying is he would have had those 4 years to like build up support for Prohibition.
But the way the question is worded, too, is enacted. So it's not even the vote. It's when it goes into effect. So Roosevelt might have been president after this all, like, happened, you know. It was enacted in the early 20th century, but the ball might have been rolling. I feel like Roosevelt is the best answer that we got, but I wouldn't be surprised if
I kind of feel like what happened was Roosevelt was president, then someone else was president, and then Roosevelt was president twice. I feel like, if I remember correctly, that's what happened. And I don't know if it's a president in between. Mm. I don't feel like Roosevelt would do it, but it might be him. You might be right. But even if that is the case...
Like he inherited the situation, maybe.
Well, even if that is the case... The chances, if he did serve three terms or two and fucking basically like three quarters, he has so much time spent in there. Hedging your bets with him is your best bet. You just want to go with Roosevelt?
Yeah.
We're going to go with Roosevelt.
All right. A grand sus,
thank you.
I might add.
Thank you very much.
The reason that people were partying so much in the 1920s was because booze was illegal. It became illegal in 1920. And the president who was the man who was president Herbert when it Hoover. Became no, no. was Woodrow Wilson.
Motherfucker.
Woodrow Wilson. But it was repealed by a Roosevelt.
Okay.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Oh.
Yes, he repealed it. And I think one of your trivia questions was how many years was it in effect, which was 13 years, 1933. It became. And by the way, the only president to be elected to four terms was Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Okay, so. That's the other factoid, not Teddy. But, Mark, I guess we just started off on the wrong foot with that one.
But it happens. A grand effort nonetheless.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
All right. Here's your second question. Wheelchair rugby goes by what nickname that was used as a title for a 2005 documentary about the sport?
Do you know it?
That hint with the documentary sealed the deal for me.
I'm giving you guys the softies today.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I believe I saw the documentary. It was good, but I think I only watched it once.
It is an amazing documentary.
Might be due for a rewatch.
Murder Ball, right?
Yes. That's what came to my mind, too.
That's it.
Let's go with it.
Yeah, Murder Ball.
Yep.
Yes. Great documentary.
There you go.
It's worth giving the softball just to give the answer so people go and watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fantastic.
What year? You said 2007?
2005.
2005. Okay. Yeah, check that out. All right. My second question for you guys this round is about the television series Stranger Things. Trivia Newton-John, one of my regular teams, they requested this category and they did not like this question. So I just thought I'd run it past you guys to see what you thought about it. This is
partially a rate my question.
A little bit, but they basically were like more plot focused than this. This is not necessarily a plot question. It's just related to Stranger Things, really. The logo and font for Stranger Things was specifically influenced by the original cover to which Stephen King novel? Now, I'll stop there. If you want some more hints, I can give you some more, but we'll just set that as the tone for the initial question.
I don't think it's...
And these editions change these book covers. So I'm talking about the classic one from when it was originally released, which I think was in the late 70s, early 80s. Another little hint there.
I'm guessing from the era that it came out, it would probably be The Stand. Would it be The Stand?
I don't think it's The Stand.
No, not The Stand. It wouldn't be The Shining because The Shining would be too early.
Let me think here.
Would you like the protagonist of the book?
Yes.
Sure.
Charlie McGee. Does that ring any bells?
Is that Pet Sematary?
I
think Pet Sematary is a little late. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say Pet Sematary is definitely one of the options.
That's a good one, a good guess. It's not The Shining. I think The Stand definitely was a little bit too late. I think that came out later
in
the 80s.
It was definitely later. Cujo?
All right, I'm going to give you the full version of this question.
Okay.
This is the version that I asked live.
All right.
The logo and font for Stranger Things was specifically influenced by the original cover to which Stephen King novel, which starred protagonist Charlie McGee, portrayed by Drew Barrymore in the film version.
Oh, got it.
Mark?
What is it?
It's a Firestarter.
You know, I was going to fucking say Firestarter, and I was like, is that a Stephen King novel?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
So that's my last question. Is that the end of this round?
It is indeed.
Okay. Yeah. great. Let's take a little break, and then we just got a couple of miscorrections before we get into round two.
Ooh, fantastic. What a great group of people, Lee.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Our presidents.
Not me.
You know.
All of our presidents. Just a bunch of really nice white guys and Barack Obama.
Really nice. Yeah. Some I would. I don't know if we should lump them all into one pile.
No.
Like that.
Absolutely. No war criminals.
And while we're correcting each other, let's get into our miscorrections.
Miscorrect. No war criminals.
Okay. In the last episode, episode 71, I mistitled two movies. Okay. So I just wanted to clear the air on that. First of all, the Manhunt movie based on the Most Dangerous Game story, which stars rapper Ice-T, is called, do you remember the name of it?
I can't, but it was such a great movie.
I thought it was called The Game, but that's a Michael Douglas movie. Okay. The Ice-T movie is called Surviving the Game.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Which is also the name of a song by his rap metal band Body Count. Uh-huh. And the action thriller does not star Nick Nolte, like I said. It stars Gary Busey. Yes. As well as Rutger Hauer, Charles S. Dutton, and F. Murray Abraham. A lot of singular initials there. It was directed by Ernest Dickerson, who also directed Samuel L. Jackson, Omar Epps, Queen Latifah, and Tupac in 1992's... Do you guys know?
Oh, hold on. Say those names again.
Omar Epps, Samuel L. Jackson, Queen Latifah, and Tupac.
Juice.
Yes, juice.
My favorite word in the English language.
Dickerson?
Ernest Dickerson.
Oh, juice. I'm sorry.
During filming of Surviving the Game, a generator failed and several things were ultimately plugged in at a family's residence. Werner Herzog would be proud.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, also, I have to mention Body Count, famous for their hit song Cop Killer.
Cop Killer.
Which was a very, very...
Also from 1992.
Yeah, which was a very, very, you know... Who no one could believe that a song called Cop Killer. I had a dubbed cassette of it. Mm-hmm. My favorite track off of it was a song called, and you may remember this because
this was written shortly after
I saw Body Count in 1991.
Do you remember the hit song Evil Dick?
I don't remember that.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a little time today, if you're at work, I would plug in some headphones and go on YouTube, or maybe you can even find it on Spotify and look up Evil Dick. It is a very funny and very weird
if you have time. Song.
Would Dr. Demento play it?
Maybe.
It would be like a metal Dr. Demento song. Okay. It's basically about how his penis has a mind of its own.
If you have time, go deep on Evil Dick.
I'm sure excusing a lot of good behavior that none of our presidents have engaged in.
It is all about how
none of them have an evil dick.
No. Yeah, my evil dick likes warm, wet spaces. Was one of the lines.
Wasn't there a song called My Ding-a-Ling? Chuck Berry had a song called My Ding-a-Ling.
So, yeah, basically it's like a trumped-up version, pardon the pun, of My Ding-a-Ling. It's like that on steroids.
Grab him by the ding-a-ling.
Well, I also wanted to clarify it was not Fried Green Tomatoes or even Steel Magnolias that Sally Field won the Oscar for.
I thought it was strange when you said...
It was... I know it.
What is it?
Places in the Heart.
That's right. Places in the Heart.
It's a fantastic movie.
I've never seen it.
It's an incredibly good movie.
Okay.
Yeah. It's got a very young John Malkovich in it.
Oh, yeah. Jonathan Malkovich.
Yeah.
From
Danny Glover in it.
The hit Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde movie with Julia Roberts, Mary Riley.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I never saw that, but
it
was
a bit of a box office bomb, actually. Not, I'm saying hit sarcastically.
Also, the hit motion picture Being John Malkovich. Oh,
how could I forget Being John Malkovich? As well as the hit motion picture, Con Air.
As well as the hit motion picture, and arguably the best movie about poker, Rounders.
As well as the art school movie written by not Daniel Klaus. Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Who wrote...
I lost it.
But the movie's Art School Confidential, but I fucked up. We should have stopped there because I had a brain bump.
I wanted to say Dangerous Liaisons.
Oh,
you just
we could have kept it going.
All right. Are we ready for the second round, or we got more to business?
Just want to say, if you have a miscorrection or remake question, please email us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com.
Even if you get a no note, you know?
A little no note for us.
So here's my question. I've been waiting for this one.
Mm-hmm.
What clothing company's founder, Chip Wilson, was forced to resign after making comments about finding humor in watching Japanese people try to pronounce the company name, as well as saying they don't make plus-sized clothes because it costs too much money?
Hmm. Seth is nodding his head.
I think I got this one. I'm not sure. I could be wrong. I'm not as sure as other ones.
Throw it at me and I'll run my racism detector at it. That's right. I'll use my own inherent racism for good this time.
Your race, Dar. Is it? I'm thinking it's American Apparel.
Okay.
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Because that guy had
he had
kind of a loud mouth and kind of, you know, seemed a tad bigoted to me.
Yep, he was not opposed to speaking his mind.
Yeah,
in interviews and stuff like that, and he had some, you know, unsavory viewpoints, I guess we'll say.
Especially regarding women, he did.
Yeah, I didn't know about this race thing, but I knew about the plus size thing.
That's just a guess. That's as far as I know.
Yeah, I like that answer. And I don't know, Chip? That just sounds like...
Chip, I don't know. Well, it sounds like a guy that would... I don't know.
Is that his birth name?
Chip Douglas.
Sounds like Uncle Chip is a name you give yourself.
Chip is such a shitty name.
No offense to any Chips listening.
Oh, all of the offense. If your name is Chip, do not give us money for Patreon. Nothing.
If your name is Chip...
You don't want that sweet Chip money?
If your name is Chip, you might be a show that gives us the wonderful performance of Eric Estrada on C-Lab 2021. So not all chips are bad.
Chip on my three sons.
So what are your final answers?
What was the question again? Oh, yeah. American Apparel.
American Apparel.
The correct answer is Lululemon.
Lululemon.
Whoa.
I don't even know what that is.
I do. Oh, I do.
You don't know Lululemon?
No, I don't know Lululemon. Is that like a multi-level marketing thing?
Yeah, kind of.
It is kind
of. Like you resell clothes to other people?
It is sort of a thing like that.
Okay.
Their big thing is leggings.
Hmm.
Now, what I'm going to read to you is an actual quote from this guy. Breast cancer came into prominence in the 1990s. I suggest this was due to the number of cigarette-smoking power women who were on the pill. Initial concentrations of hormones in the pill were very high, and taking on the stress previously left to men in the working world. Ultimately, Lululemon was formed because female education levels, breast cancer, yoga athletics, and the desire to dress feminine came together all at one time.
What the fuck? Well,
I'm glad that Dr. Chip Wilson set us straight on that.
This is a real human being.
That's kind of weird. Yeah.
This might be worse than the things I read from the guy from American Apparel.
I mean, this guy was a grade A. And the fact that he specifically mentioned that Lululemon, he got joy in watching Japanese people try and pronounce the name, and that's why he loved the name so much.
Wow. He sprung from a desire to dress feminine.
It was just like, he's just like the biggest pile of trash.
Like the stuff that you expect to read on the side of the bottle of Dr. Bronner's soap, but isn't there. That is like actually wholesome in a way.
And he actually made a website. I don't know if it's still up, but you know, he was ousted.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly as soon as they went. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he made his own website basically saying Lululemon has lost its way, you know, and basically talking about like, you know, the way that, you know, the way that Jesus Christ, I know you're angry, Lee, but there's no need to hurt the equipment Patreon
cold brew emotions taking it out on the mic.
I'm all jazzed up on caffeine.
But yeah, so that Chip guy is a real piece of garbage.
Okay. Interesting. Oh, interesting question.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and I guess it's not surprising that there are multiple asshole CEOs out there in the world.
So you could also point out that he is no longer affiliated with a company, so it's okay to wear Lululemon despite the desire to...
I don't know anything about the company, so this is not a hashtag ad for sure.
Well, he's not there.
Yeah, I mean, but he has...
In our house, MLM means Mom Loves Mayo. That's what we say.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. My first question for round two for you guys is earth science. Earth science is
I thought you were going to say earth, wind, and fire.
No. Only in September can we ask questions about that band. According to earthsky.org, scientists believe that 50 to 85% of the world's oxygen is produced by what?
Trees?
No.
Oxygen machines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The big giant tanks that you see people in the carts at Publix riding around in with them attached to their faces is where most of the oxygen comes from.
We are in South Florida.
Yes.
There's a healthy amount of it distributed there, but
no, I believe that it is ocean-borne plant life, like algae or something like that. I think that's what it is.
Plankton?
Not plankton. I don't think so.
Can we hear the question one more time?
Yeah.
According to earthsky.org, scientists believe that 50 to 85% of the world's oxygen is produced by what?
I think it's algae. I think it's like some sort of algae or like single-celled thing in the water. I remember somewhere getting some information that it is, you know, that when the fires were happening in Brazil and the better portion, you know, large chunks of the Amazon were burning down and people were characterizing it as the lungs of the world, that there were other bits of news and media that were coming out saying, well, that's a little bit of a misnomer, that most of our oxygen is produced in the ocean. Now, I remember that, but I don't remember exactly what it was in the ocean that was producing all of the oxygen, I think. I'm going to go miscorrection on this one next week, probably.
Yeah, trees does seem too on the nose. Lee wouldn't make such an obvious answer.
Of course, it doesn't hurt to plant trees.
Of course.
Yes.
I mean, don't take this as a burn down your trees.
Yes.
I mean,
we're not anti-tree.
Save the trees. Yeah. Hashtag save the trees. Yeah,
Lorax eye in
sounds
here.
Fine to me. Earth sky. I mean, is I guess Earth sky is just worried about this because there's oxygen in the Earth sky. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
It's not like a hint that it has something else to do with.
Anything with sky in the URL scares me because I always think of Skynet from Terminator.
Yeah, me too.
I'm just going to add that I just put that on there because the margin in the factoid is so large, 50 to 85%.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not certain what it is. They characterize it as being hard.
But I think it's algae.
Yeah, we're going to go with algae.
Phytoplankton. Nice. Phytoplankton in the ocean.
Phytoplankton.
Yeah. Which
is that an algae?
I would accept it.
You did say plankton.
Okay.
You did.
Phytoplankton. Okay. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I was going to say pseudoplankton, but I guess I was thinking, I knew
pseudo
it was
shrimp on the barbay.
Something plankton.
Whale food.
Fantastic. All okay. Right. Good for plankton.
Awesome. Yep. Seth?
This was inspired by a question that Mark asked one night at trivia that I will never forget because it drove everyone mad. Yeah. This was one of those questions that you loved because it drove everybody crazy. And it was the question was how many states touch the Mississippi River? Do you remember that when you asked that question? Oh, it just drove people crazy. I think I can't remember the answer. I think it was 10, but this one, it's right up that alley. Name the states that border Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes whipping down.
Let's sing Surrey with a fringe on top. After
I don't know where Oklahoma is on a map.
It looks like this.
Oh. Ah, it's half of Run the Jewels. Hold on. Hold on.
This is going to go on on the website.
Open. Yeah. All right. Like this. Are you LP or
the
are you Killer
you
Mike?
Use.
I can't remember who does that one.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
So we got
okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5, 6, 7, 6 or 7. Kansas.
Right.
Nebraska.
Okay. All right. Wyoming.
Maybe. Sure. How confident are you on that? I have no idea.
I just got done telling you, I don't know where it is on a map.
Maybe Wyoming, Nevada.
Show me the United States.
Not Nevada, Utah. I can't show you. We can't cheat.
Can you draw?
No, we tried this last time, remember? I've not learned how to draw the United States.
Do you not know you're an artist? Literally, your job is to
all I have to know that. Is that Jasper Johns made American flag paintings. I'll be okay, all right?
You know that Rodin made The Thinker?
Yep.
Or no, did he?
Yes.
Yes, he did.
Okay. That was
August.
No question.
Rodin.
August.
Mm-hmm. August.
So, Utah, not Nevada, right?
Nevada's down there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also long.
Yeah. And Utah's next to it on the eastern side, right?
Yeah.
So Utah. I feel okay about that.
Okay.
Arizona?
No.
New Mexico.
Arizona and New Mexico are way down.
What's underneath? Kansas?
I need you to tell me where it is.
Midwest. South Midwest. Central South. South Central Midwest.
So down by Texas? Let's use Texas as a barometer.
Ooh, it's got that Texas shape. Go over to Oklahoma from Texas.
So where Texas comes up, do we have pen and paper? Can we do this?
There might be some over near Seth. There's some right there. I used to stash them.
Oh, that's the back of a chord chart.
It's a Dragon Ball
beautiful
Z
piece of
that's very pretty.
Red
okay,
Shader
so
artwork.
The top of Texas, awesome. Mm-hmm. Texas does the woot, and then it's got that woot woot woot.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Oklahoma?
Let's say yeah.
Are you sure?
Look at the shape of it.
Is Oklahoma
right above
Texas?
It fits
right
in like a
Texas?
Jigsaw puzzle. I don't know. I think so though.
Okay, so we're gonna say that then.
Let's say it. It's a big state. So it's probably included in there somewhere.
So Texas.
Mm-hmm. Kansas.
Kansas.
Wyoming.
Wyoming is up here, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. No Wyoming.
Okay, so Texas, Kansas. Did you say how many?
Just name them.
Name them, but you didn't tell us a number.
No.
Okay. Oh, shit. Okay.
So Texas, Kansas.
At this point, I'll give you credit if you get the number right.
Now that he's witnessing this performance, this pitiful display.
Geography will forever be one of my downfalls. Texas, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
What's to this? Louisiana is to the right of Texas, but it's far away.
Yeah, far away. States
and then
away.
What's creeping up?
That's why I'm talking about New Mexico and Arizona.
New Mexico and Arizona, though, are to the left of Texas.
Utah. To the left? What's
Utah,
to the left?
Utah could be...
West or east?
So Texas is here. Utah could be here.
Utah... I don't think Utah is above Oklahoma. I think Utah's south of Oklahoma.
I don't... Well...
I think
if Oklahoma is sitting right on top of Texas, then I don't think that's the case.
No, it could be. It's like southwest, like maybe just like a little bit of it.
We're not gonna. We just need to do something.
Yeah. So I'm saying let's say Utah.
Okay.
Let's include it.
Fine. Utah.
What's north?
Kansas,
what's going up that other side?
Texas. Arkansas.
Nope.
No,
west,
Utah,
go west. West.
Texas.
What's above
Kansas.
Nevada and Utah?
Above Nevada? Dude, you're talking about like Nevada's really tall.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's east of those states? Wyoming, right?
Sure, Wyoming. Okay. Where's Montana? Montana's way up
north.
There, right?
Yep, that's at the top.
Okay, basically. So Wyoming. Yep. So Texas. I can picture just someone that actually knows where states.
That's
just highlighting all these states. And like,
I had another state question. There's no way I'm asking it now. There's no way.
So Texas. So we're gonna just say we're just gonna say four. Texas, Kansas. Utah and whatever the other one was.
Wyoming.
Okay, there you go. You've given me an answer. It was so much fun watching you guys shit all over you. This question.
Yeah, it's very fun
I need you to take a picture of this right here because you're right. You're exactly right about the shape of you know Lee at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And because of this thing right here,
yeah.
It just it ratchets up the number of states that it touches.
Right.
Which made this question exceedingly difficult.
It's probably
difficult.
Like 10.
Of course, this is, I'm sure, the reaction that you guys had in Nice Guys that night when he asked the Mississippi River question.
Yep.
So it is, and I'm glad you got two of the two important ones right, which is Kansas and Texas. Ones. It's the one that borders it the most to the north is Kansas. It is separate the Red River Valley, the Red River, separates Oklahoma from Texas, and that's it probably its biggest border with one state. However, it is Kansas, Texas, New Mexico for a little tiny bit.
I knew New Mexico was over there.
Colorado for a bigger bit.
Colorado.
And then
that's
and you guys actually I think said them both, Missouri and Arkansas.
Oh, you did say Arkansas.
State,
I had no idea
and
that Arkansas
so
touched Oklahoma.
Shit all
I had
over
no
me.
Idea that it stretched all the way over. So it really goes across the top of Texas.
Exactly. It's, I mean, the Red River separate them and it just takes, I think the entire.
Mark, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's I mean, for a geography person, that's a hard enough one on its own.
Great question though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it just touches so many states because of, you know, this, the two fingers that you put up.
Yep. All right, Mark.
Here's my second question. How many emirates form the United Arab Emirates?
Mm. That's a good one I used to know.
I have no idea.
Oh, I think it's seven. Okay, you got to think. You got one. You got Saudi Arabia, which is a monarchy. You got Kuwait, which is a monarchy. You got one, two. And then I think it's.
Is Dubai a country or a city?
It's a country.
Okay.
I think it's six. I think it's six. I mean, I can't name them all off the top of my head because you know I'm not that good.
All and, these numbers questions,
I
addresses, numbers,
states. I think it's six or it could be seven.
I think. Yeah, I don't know which way to lean you on. I like the sound of seven, but
it's. Let's go with seven.
Okay.
Because I'm not sure. Seven.
The correct answer is seven.
Oh.
Way to go, Lee.
Yeah.
Woo. Way to go.
But it's like none of the ones you mentioned.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
It is Abu Dhabi, which serves as the capital. Ajman, Dubai, which you did mention.
Dubai.
Fujairah, Ras Al Khaimah.
Holy shit.
Sharjah, and Al Qawain. Those are the seven.
Okay.
So. You're just like
let's clock in that miscorrection for wrong pronunciations next week already.
I know I fucked them all up and I apologize.
No, that's okay, man.
It's kind of funny. It's like the tiles that you were mentioning that you and Zach were sussing for Scrabble.
Right.
He was just like, I think it's five. It's C and like mentioning all these letters that weren't right. But it's like if you still get to the number,
right.
Then you're right.
Shit, we still got it. We
yeah,
still got it.
There you go.
Seven. I had my final question, and I think I'm going to ask you guys. Somebody was like, "How should I know that?" I'm like, "I wrote it in a way that you could just guess from this group. So guess if you don't know, you
right?
Know? Like I led you along a little bit." Disney question. My final question for you guys this round.
Ooh, Disney Plus.
You're going to Disney this week.
Right? I am going to Disney this week.
Lucky bastard.
First time?
I mean, since I was a child.
Okay, you should get one of those buttons anyway. It says first time.
Yeah,
everybody
will.
Everybody be extra nice to you.
Oh,
it works there. The cast members.
Oh.
They're trained to do that, Mark. They're trained.
Yeah. It's the joy of
Disney. I'm going there. I'm getting there right at 9 when they open. I'll be leaving at 6
Rope
or 7.
Drop is what they call that.
That's right.
Yeah.
And rope drop.
I'm getting here. I'm driving straight, like from leaving at 6 or 7, driving straight down here to play punk rock karaoke from 11 p.m. till 1 in the morning.
We'll be there. By the time this airs, you'll have missed it, listeners, but
yeah.
I will be there. Yes.
All right.
What is the only Disney title character that has no lines of dialogue or vocalizations whatsoever in the their original animated film?
Only Disney character that has no vocalizations or lines
Disney title character.
Disney title character. Mm-hmm. It has, when you say vocal, it doesn't make any noises. Nothing. There are no noises.
Mum's the word.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference.
Well, it's not. Isn't that from Pinocchio?
It is. I was just saying it. No.
It's my not guess, Snow White. It's not Pinocchio. It's
my,
not.
My guess.
Yes.
Is Tinkerbell.
That's not a movie. That's, she didn't have a title movie named after her.
Oh, title movie.
Yeah.
Title character.
Title character.
Title their character. Their original animated movie.
Okay, let's go down. Well, the earliest is Snow White. And then you have, oddly enough, after that one, Song of the South. Of course, that's not the case. And then you have
not Pinocchio. Available on Disney Plus, Songs of the South.
Definitely not.
Zach checked. I think I saw that he checked.
Then it's you have Sleeping Beauty. Of course, that's Aurora. That was her name, and I think, and she spoke in the movie. I think she did. I mean, I can't. That's the one I can't remember.
Well, I mean, she spends a lot of time sleeping, doesn't she?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's hence the title, Sleeping.
I wonder if there's been a porn version of that called Sleeping Booty.
Mark, do you even have to question that?
There's where a
porn
she
version
sleeps,
of
but
everything.
Someone has anal sex with her and she wakes up.
It's
but of course,
hard.
It would
that's
be
what it takes to wake
it would
up.
Be non-consensual,
oh, right?
Oh, that's pretty bad.
Well, I mean, even the kissing is bad. You can just imagine how angry people would be with non-consensual anal sex.
My only guess is maybe, even though it's not her name, but that is who she is Sleeping Beauty. It's the only one that I haven't really watched.
Well, let's not. Okay, so Lady and the Tramp.
Lady and
Pocahontas.
No, she speaks.
You got to understand, I also haven't seen a lot of these or don't remember a lot of them.
And, you know, Ariel loses her voice in the better portion of the movie, but of course she speaks, she sings.
Right.
Part of their world.
And the movie is called The Little Mermaid, and her name is Ariel.
Yeah, okay. So title character. That tells me something. Title character. So it's not Sleeping Beauty, because her name is Aurora, and she would not be the, and that's a giveaway on that one. So,
and it's a movie, you said?
It's a title movie. Disney title movie. And when you say it, I'm going to kick myself.
Hunchback of Notre Dame.
No. His name was Quasimodo, and he spoke all through it. Yeah. And you kind of...
I'm just, like, thinking of, like, fucking names. Mulan, she talks, though.
Definitely. I don't know, man. I'm lost on this one. I'm completely lost on it. Where's Jamie when you need him?
Screaming at his stereo right now.
Right now, freaking out at his stereo.
Is Peter Pan a...
Well, that's the title character, and we definitely know that,
He
Peter talked. Spoke. Yes. I don't know.
Come on, man. Don't give up. Snow White. Does Snow White talk?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. She has a very distinctive voice, as a matter of fact. She's like the high, fluttery voice.
You know, there's
didn't
probably...
Didn't make a noise in...
Let me give you a little historical context for this question. This movie was made during a time period where production budgets were very low for Disney. So it's one of the cheapest Disney movies ever made. It has a lack of detailed backgrounds for that reason. And it also was created during a time period where Disney animators were going on strike. It includes a scene of several circus performers asking for a raise or getting ready to collectively organize to ask the big boss for a raise that was inserted by Disney himself as a jab at his own animators.
Dumbo.
Duh. That's it. That's it. That's
congratulations.
It.
Yeah. Dumbo.
Very good.
Thank you.
Yes.
Very good.
If it wasn't for you
Holy
giving the clue
crap.
Of the circus,
I wouldn't have
thought of it.
Yeah.
One of my teams was arguing that Old Yeller would be an acceptable answer, but no vocalizations. Barking, yelping.
Yeah.
Those are vocalizations. Doesn't have to be human. Doesn't have to be Scooby-Doo style. Ruh-roh.
Ruh-roh Reggie.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Oof. Dumbo.
Man, thank you for...
Hey, I'm
very good.
Glad to help.
A brotherly bump.
Yeah.
Of the fists.
I consider Seth a brother. A brother from another mother.
You are very close.
Aww.
Is it mine?
Yes.
Okay.
I did film you and your wife making your daughter. So.
Thank you so much for being there for me.
I did guide your
when
penis.
I needed you the most.
You all
needed you to guide me along.
Someone had.
How do we make this? I don't know. Let's call Mark.
I love the timbre of your voice when you said, "Thank you for guiding me along." All right.
Being there. Another great Peter Sellers movie. All right. I was going to ask you another state question, but I think we'll forego that.
Yeah, please. Don't.
Okay. This one's a little bit, maybe, I think y'all guys. Okay. Narayana Reddy is a YouTube star that cooked large portions of food for orphans in India. He recently passed away on October 27th. Both he and his channel were known as what?
Narayana Reddy?
Narayana Reddy.
Narayana.
A YouTube star that cooked large portions of food for orphans and other people in India passed away on October 27th. Both he and his channel were known as what?
I have no clue.
Yeah, the only, I think there's, I haven't seen it, but I know there's an Indian YouTube channel, Binging with Babish, I think is what it's called.
That sounds,
but
I mean, that it's the best.
That's my best guess, but the only thing that's giving me a pause on that is saying he was known as that. So maybe it's a singular name, but the channel I know is Binging with Babish, but his name could be.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it could be a nickname. Like,
I'm just saying it's not the same. The show, the YouTube channel and the name don't match. And the way that the question is written, it kind of implies that they have the same name, right? You said he's also known as this.
Yep.
And the channel is called that.
Well,
so Binging with Babish is a title of a show, but not a nickname for a person. Babish would be, but that's not what the channel is called. So I'm just saying that's what makes me think that it might not be right, but I don't have a better guess.
We're going to go with Binging with Babish.
Wrong. I'm wondering if you guys have ever seen this. This was on the front page of CNN, and I've seen him, tons of his videos.
It sounds familiar.
It was called Grandpa Kitchen.
Mm.
And it was a guy, we'd come out with these big giant, tubs, huge metal tubs, and put them over a fire and cook tons and tons of food. Just these massive portions of food. And it always would show up like in Facebook feeds and things like that. If you ever scrolled through YouTube, I mean, tons of people that I know have seen it. But the reason I ask is because this was on CNN's front page like a week ago.
Oh, okay.
And it was called Grandpa Kitchen, but he was an old Indian
fellow. Sounds like a nice guy.
He totally was. I loved his videos. He would just sit there and cook massive. And I always thought to myself, if you ever had to cook for a lot of people, this would be a great instructional video because he would cook just huge portions of food. And then at the very end of the video, you'd see him walking along with a huge bowl in his hand and portioning out on plates for the little kids.
That's awesome.
And it was very uplifting videos.
We've had
called Grandpa Kitchen.
Yeah. We'll check it out and we'll post a link. We've had a recce out for our Monday Night Trivia. And I've been ordering multiple meals in advance from that food truck, Indian Fusion. So good.
God, I love Indian food.
Yeah, I'm going to check
out
the channel.
We just had our first Indian restaurant open in Cape Coral like a week and a half ago.
Masala something.
Yeah.
I'm dying.
Let's go.
Yeah, I want to go. I want to go.
Let's go.
Speaking of going.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break and then come back with our final question.
Right, so we're going to have some Rate My Questions for you next week, but we're just going to jump into the final round today. So who's going first? Is it my turn to go first?
It's your turn, baby.
Okay, all right. This is a question about the Nobel Prize, but not about a particular winner of the Nobel Prize.
Is it about Alfred Nobel himself?
No. This is not about a person. This is about an event surrounding the Nobel Prize itself, the Nobel Prize Banquet. Until the year 2000, what type of dessert was traditionally served at the Nobel banquet?
Dynamite pie.
Alfred Nobel, known for inventing
dynamite.
Yep. Yes. I mean, let's think of something that would be, that would span all nationalities.
Okay, he was a Swedish gentleman, from what I understand, correct?
And it takes place in Oslo, doesn't it?
That would be like Norway. Right. I think he was Norway. I think he was Scandinavian. I'm not sure if he's Swedish.
It's somewhere up in those countries.
Nordic, Nordland.
But I mean, like, they give the Nobel Prize to people from
anywhere.
Anywhere in the world.
Yeah. What would it, but it, when did they start the Nobel Prize? Probably, and I'm going to once again get miscorrected on this, probably in the 1930s or 40s.
That was
it?
My guess.
Yeah. So what was a popular dessert in the 30s and 40s? I have an idea.
Creme brulee.
No, that might be because it's French. And
well, I'm just thinking it's fancy.
Yeah. My guess was going to be baked Alaska.
You know, it's so fucking weird you said that, because I thought baked Alaska and I was like, no, there's no way it's baked Alaska.
Well, that started to become popular at around that time.
Well, I'm fine with baked Alaska or creme brulee. I think they're both fancy.
Yeah.
And I think that it could be either of them.
Baked Alaska is dramatic because it has to be set on fire.
Right.
I think it's baked Alaska.
We're going to go with baked Alaska.
Wrong.
Ah. Is it creme brulee?
Wrong.
Oh, I meant to only hit the one.
Which one?
They're applauding our wrongness.
The wrong one.
Yeah.
But like many
chocolate chip cookie.
Many teams suggested both of those. The answer is the very humble ice cream.
You know,
ice cream marked with the letter N, layered with fruit sorbet, and served on a tray with
dynamite.
Sparklers, yes.
Oh, there you go.
Basically.
Wow. Oh, yep. So we weren't far.
Well, I'm yeah. glad that
so
they have
they
a
showed
sense
it up a little bit.
It. Okay.
Yeah. There was flame involved.
Yeah. They,
yeah. Okay.
They yeah.
Sh-
yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
Fantastic.
Nobel ice cream.
Nobel ice
and,
cream.
And yeah, in the year 2000, they finally let the chefs decide what the menu would have for dessert.
I wonder
what
they've had since then.
All
probably
sorts
creme
of
brulee.
Shit. Yeah. Finally, baked Alaska.
God Christ.
6 years later.
Been waiting to make some good shit. All right.
All right. In keeping with my tradition of asking a World War II question at the end, at the final question, always here on the no-no with both Mark and Lee. I am going to ask a World War I question. In what year did the U.S. enter World War I?
My gut tells me.
Let's say at the same time.
1, 2, 3. 1914. Well, I said
very
14.
Close. Yeah,
you said 13.
Very close.
I know there's a video game called 1914.
Ooh.
Like an old NES game.
Yes. Yes, Mark.
Excited.
Insert
over video
Jack
game.
Nicholson gif
a
here.
Big ass fucking green plane.
Yep. Yeah. 1914. Mark, I love it.
You want to go with that?
Guide
if it's
me.
1913, fuck that game.
All right,
yes,
we're
going to
say 1914.
1914 is when the war started. That's when it started. And of course, the U.S. did not get involved until in a military sense until 1917.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess we were both barking
not
up the same
off.
Wrong
yep.
tree.
Yep. Exactly. We were in the same era.
It was pretty much done when we entered it.
So, yeah.
I mean, it was almost over.
If I would have said 1915, because I felt like it was a little after that, then maybe we get some credit. But we were just
we
wrong.
Were the punk bitch that went in and like did the last kick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah,
we really were,
bitch.
And then you break your foot while you're doing it.
Yeah,
we got involved in April of 1917. Weren't even involved in a major battle until May of 1918.
Indeed.
And then the war was over like 5 months after that, 6 months after that.
All right. So. Here's your last question. In 2012, Tammy Baldwin became the first openly gay person to be elected to the U.S. Senate by what state?
2012.
Yeah, it's not far
Senator
off.
Senator Tammy Baldwin.
It's very, very big news when it happened.
Yeah, I think that she was from Arizona. You said senator, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
I did say that.
I think it's Arizona.
That was the language I used.
I thought...
Lee's rubbing his eyes.
Arizona, isn't that where Kyrsten Sinema is from? Who I think, or she's the first bi.
I saw a movie there.
Yeah. Yes, you're right. Yeah. So it's probably somewhere else.
Minnesota? Why is that? That was my gut.
That could be. That could be.
It gets cold. You want to snuggle, you know, with your beloved. Ladies got to snuggle. And you don't want to be hiding your snuggling.
You got to be so snuggling cold. With a gay person.
Well, I'm just saying, like, don't, you know, it's hard. It's bad enough. You know, just be well.
Being in
Minnesota, she probably came out way earlier than 2012, but the world is
Minnesota
catching up.
Is good. I think that's
okay.
I think that's because I don't know it. Yeah,
Minnesota.
We're gonna go with Minnesota,
like the Dandy Warhol song.
The correct answer is Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
You guys got closer.
Wisconsin.
Real close. It's still snuggle country.
Yeah.
It is very much snuggle country.
Yes.
Up there with those cheese heads.
They're excited about
their football. Go
pack,
go, they say.
All right. Is that
That's it?
That's all three in the final round.
Boom.
The turbo final round.
Thanks again for joining us today for the No. It's always a pleasure having you on. And
I love it.
I can't wait till we have you on again.
I appreciate that, man. I love this show.
And any new Shytunas shows coming up? I know you've been playing some public stuff, like Coruscant. Is that
Coruscant? We're doing another one at the beginning of December at Coruscant. I think it's December 6th. Just going out there and playing at the farmer's market that they have every Sunday morning. We're going to be doing that one. You can probably catch us for as long as we can. Playing on the streets of downtown Fort Myers. Oftentimes we just show up and play, you know, on the streets there. We're going to be there is stuff that we are working on, new things, whether they be themed or not, they are working on them. We're trying to do something Christmas related, but we're kind of falling behind on that. I don't know if it's going to get out by Christmas time this year. But, you know, ShyTunasBandCamp.com. Of course, there's the ShyTunas YouTube page, which we are definitely working on another Cramped Hallway session. That is coming for sure. So
cool. Got to get Kyle in there for one of those.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. I got to get in there too.
Yeah.
I know. I'm sorry.
Get in there. Get in there. That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee. Check out No Nonsense Trivia live on Mondays at 7 p.m. at Palace Pub and Wine Bar in Cape Coral. Tuesdays at Gather for Ladies Night Trivia in Cape Coral. That also starts at 7. Wednesdays, catch Mark Davis hosting Trivia Nice Guys Pizza at 9 p.m.
What up?
Then each and every Thursday evening, we're at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That one starting at 7 o'clock as well. Thanks for listening. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page. Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show. Mark, I'm thinking the Proverbial Lightkeepers, it's a big group and all, but it seems a little unfair that they get the whole beat to themselves.
You know, so, I've thought the same thing.
Why don't we just run through everybody, at least just this one time, as something different?
Yeah, on the we've got to do something for the people above them, because why are they not being wrapped?
Yeah.
This is something I've been meaning to talk to you about.
We got
to
do
it. If anything, the people above them should be wrapped and they should not be wrapped.
I don't know how it happened like this, but we've fallen into a group now.
It's just turned that way because they're such a big group.
Yep. Quiz Daddies! It's Tommy from the Electric Mud and Tim from San Diego, a member of the trivia team going by Pat's Garden Service. Thanks to our team captains, Rachel, Aaron, Kristen, and Fletcher. Thanks to our Proverbial Lightkeepers, the new guy, Matthew, Nickel, Pit Boss Luke, Spencer, the chef. My phone fell asleep. Here we go. Hank, Dylan, Justin, Cooper, Elise, Aaron, Sarah, Brina, Carly, Christopher, Josh, Max, Lucas, Sean, and Gil. And our Rumble Snailskins, Manu, Jeff, Efren, Stephen, Michael Cranberry, and Michael Jelly. If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or miscorrection at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com, please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia. We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us, our Quiz Daddies, Team Captains, Proverbial Lightkeepers, Rumple Snailskins, and others for discussion related to the No. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service. 5 stars only.
Please.
Until next time, no nonsense listeners, have a great week.